May I ask you please to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philemon. With your kind permission, I would like to read the entire book. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee, always in my prayer, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Let the communication or fellowship of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Not now a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you for the blessing it has been to us in the past. We thank you that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we ask that you will give each one of us this morning something of blessing from your word. We thank you for this good day. We pray for those who are not able to be with us because of illness or some other reason. We ask that you will bless them, even as you have blessed us. For we ask these things in your name. Amen. I'm not apologizing for preaching from this portion of God's Word. About 7 or 8 years ago, I used this portion to speak to you about love. And on other occasions, I've used this same portion to speak about faith. And on one occasion, at least, not here, I spoke on the matter of Christian responsibility. They're all here. And, of course, many of the Lord's servants, including myself, have used this as a gospel message. This man, Onesimus, needed to be saved. He was a bad man. And we like to feel that bad people can be saved. And of course, most of us are well aware of the fact that the word bad includes all of us before we came to know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. But I want to talk about something different from this book, and I do trust that it will be a help to you as it has been a help to me. We've heard a lot about slaves. And one time in Africa, I spoke to a man. His name was Kabangazi. And he was the most unimpressive person. Most of our Lunda people, or at least the men, were very proud of themselves, but this man obviously had something wrong with him. And I found out that he had been a slave. Of course, under the British colonial system, there were no slaves. I imagine that some years back, he had come from another tribe and had been a slave. The other people didn't treat him very well. And I didn't like that. It's one of the things that you have in Africa. If you have racial feelings here, you have them over there as well. I kind of like that poor old man. And I gave him some work. And I don't know what happened to him. I lost track of him. But I had seen a slave. Now, the Word of God makes it very, very clear to us through this portion of the Scripture that the Lord has made it possible for all of us to come to Him. And that's the gospel. And Onesimus was a slave, and the story tells us, you've heard it so many a time, that he ran away from Philemon, probably taking with him as much of his master's goods as he could. He had to live somewhere. And he went to Rome to disappear among the crowds there. We heard about the inner city last night at the missionary conference. And that's where Onesimus went, to the inner city of Rome, to get lost. Well, he did get lost, I imagine, for a time, but somehow, and how he would like to know the details, he will someday, he came to the knowledge of the Apostle Paul, who led him to Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful story. And oh, how thankful I am for this great salvation that included even me. And I'm glad to be in the same class as Onesimus, who was a slave. Well, the Apostle Paul was faced with a dilemma. Onesimus was serving him and helping him, and he would like to have kept him. But he knew that the right thing to do was to send him back to his master. And that comes now to something that I'd like to mention, which is really the theme of my message this morning. And that is this. Now, the three people that we have mentioned, there are more than that, but I'm referring to the three main characters, Onesimus, Philemon, and Paul, needed something. Well, you would say, what did they need? We're going to come to that. Here's Onesimus, and some people feel that he was glad to go back to his master. I'm not so sure about that, having read this over some time. And, of course, the Apostle Paul is glad to send him back, but I'm not so sure about that either. And what about Onesimus? He was glad to go too. I'm not so sure. And Philemon, he would have been happy, was going to be happy to receive him. I don't know. Because, you know, we have to think about the politics that we find in this passage, and which you had at that time in the Roman world. After all, he'd broken the law. He was a converted man, but he'd broken the law. He'd run away, and he'd stolen as well. So now what is going to happen? If Philemon receives him and with open arms, if you turn over to the last chapter, as a lot of the ladies do when they're reading romances, to see how it all turns out, well, you know that everything did turn out all right. But Philemon was faced with a dilemma. If I let this man go without any punishment at all, what's going to happen to all the rest of them? Now, you just think back to your history in this country, and unfortunately, they treated runaway slaves with brutality. We'd like to forget all of that, but they did. And in the Roman world, they did the same thing. Well, now does Onesimus want to go back? Does Philemon want him back? Perhaps he'd like to say, you stay there. And then I won't be troubled with this dilemma, which is going to take place when you come back here. Well, he had a problem. In other words, Onesimus wants to know, am I forgiven? Am I forgiven? You can read that here. I'm not taking too much liberty with the scriptures. Am I forgiven? Very important. God has forgiven me, but will Philemon forgive me? Don't know. But it's a very important question. You know, I've dwelt quite a bit in thinking about this message on the subject of forgiveness and some of the terrible tragedies that you have in the Word of God come about because of an unwillingness on the part of people to forgive things little or big. You remember how Saul, first king of Israel, could not forgive David. Well, actually, David hadn't done him any wrong at all. Saul fancied something. And a lot of people sometimes find it difficult to forgive people for something they fancied they've said or done, maybe both. I've known problems of that kind. Well, you remember what happened to Saul. He destroyed himself because of his unwillingness to forgive. And then I was reading not so long ago about Joseph's brethren. Do you remember when poor Jacob was there buried? And the family came back to Egypt. These 11 men came to Joseph. They said, you know, you should forgive us. What was behind that? Well, you see, vicariously, they were putting into the mind of Joseph just what they would have done. Once the father was out of the way, they would have dealt very harshly with Joseph. But now it's the other way around. And those are some of the most beautiful words in the scripture. And Joseph said, God sent me here. You don't have to take upon yourself the problem of my coming here. Certainly I forgive you. What wonderful words those were. And those 10 men, I don't presume that Benjamin was with them, went back relieved because they were forgiven. They shouldn't have been. Not many others would have forgiven them. I don't suppose they'd have been alive if Joseph had been like some folk. He would have seen to them much earlier on. Well, you know, you go into the New Testament and you find it again. Peter says, and he's very self-righteous. He says, how often are we to forgive? 7 times. My, to him that would be incredible. To forgive a person 7 times. Well, the Lord raises the figure a little bit. 70 times 7. Yes. That's how many times you have to forgive, and I suppose when you reach that number, you could go on forgiving a little more. He would have done, because he forgave us all of our sins. Now, Onesimus wants to know whether or not he is forgiven. What about the Apostle Paul? Well, he's taken upon himself a very serious task. He's sending back Onesimus, and he's telling Philemon, if he's done anything wrong, you charge that to my account. I'll pay it. I'll pay it. Now, the Apostle Paul wants to know as well, has Onesimus been forgiven? Because it's going to make quite a difference in my thinking. And we know perfectly well that the Apostle Paul had thought this out very carefully. And then we come last of all to Philemon. As I've already said, we're not so sure that he wants Onesimus back again. A thief, according to Roman law, one who should be severely punished. Now he's faced with this. Well, the apostle has something else to say to Philemon, and that's what I'd like to dwell upon. He wants Philemon to add something to his spiritual qualification. Do you ever stop to think that perhaps you have something that you need to add to what you feel is your Christian character? Well, the Apostle Paul is just saying that to Philemon. And where does he say it? Well, look at this 6th verse. That the fellowship of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now apparently, the fact that Philemon was living a godly life obviously was one of the elders of the church there, wasn't enough. Because he says the fellowship of your faith may become effectual. It's not. It's not now. What's that word effectual mean? Well, it means energy. And what does the dictionary say about the word effectual? It says adequate for a purpose. And so the Apostle Paul said to Philemon, I'm sorry, but your faith is inadequate. It's got to change. Change it how? To include Onesimus. You have to include him. Include him in what? You have to bring him into your home. He's a Christian brother now. He's no longer a slave. I wouldn't send him back to you to be a slave anymore. You have to accept him on these terms. Do you think that was easy? I doubt it. I haven't read very much. There are others here who could amplify on this, but those Roman landowners or Greek landowners living under the Romans had a great deal of power. They were autocrats, as none of us or people are today. They ruled, and they took good care that things went very well. I think I've seen some of that in Africa, and it displeased me. One of the things that I found when I first went out there was that the African could do nothing right. It seemed to me the tabletop was almost always centered around the mistakes of the Africans. Well, I'm glad to say that I realized that very early on. And then I began to look around, and some of those who criticized these poor people drove around in Mercedes. Kind of anomaly. Yes, you're going to criticize these two poor people who brought you your wealth so that you can buy a Mercedes. It kind of bothered me. And I don't say I got into any serious trouble, but I think some people at times felt that I was a little bit critical. I'm glad I was. Well, that's changed now. And even as missionaries, we were treated as little gods. Kind of interesting to be treated that way. The important Bwana. Yes, people clap to you or bow down and so on. Well, that's all gone. That's one of the good things that's happened. There's no longer any of that sort of thing around, and we're very thankful for it. Well, now you can picture what's happened here. Here is Philemon, and he has to consider what he's going to do. Bring a slave into his home and treat him as an equal and as a child of God. Now, as I said, we've looked in the last chapter and we find that he did. Now we've dealt with the subject of forgiveness, and the apostle is making it clear to Philemon that you have done so many good things, but you have to add one thing to it. You may not like it, you may not want to, but you're going to have to if you're going to show that you love the Lord. you're going to have to forgive Onesimus. We're thankful that he did. And now notice this word. He says, fellowship of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Well, didn't Philemon have forgiveness as one of his qualities, Christian graces? I'm sure he did, but maybe not for Onesimus. Maybe for those that I want to forgive. And you know, that's one of the great problems that we find in Christian life. Sometimes people don't want to forgive others. We find that on the mission field. You find it amongst African Christians. You find it many places. Somebody's been slighted. Don't like it. Yes, someone has ridiculed you. I don't like him either. Would you forgive him? Well, you have to. For Christ's sake. He's forgiven all of our sins. And that's what we should do as well. Well, you remember how in the New Testament, we have that marvelous story of the Good Samaritan. I don't know whether you ever thought about the theme of forgiveness in there. Well, it's there, all right. He was a Samaritan. And he had very good reason for hating the Jews, because they never lost an opportunity to heap scorn upon the Samaritans. No, they didn't like him. They called our Lord a Samaritan. And his own disciples didn't want to go into Samaria. They very much preferred to go the other way. Well, you know the story of the Good Samaritan. He was adequate. Because not only did he pick up this Jew and take him to the inn, but he arranged for all of his care there. And he said, if you spend more, when I come back, I'll pay you. I think the apostle would have said, that's adequate. That's what you should do. You haven't left anything undone. You haven't just taken him to the inn. You haven't just paid for his care there for a day or two. You've seen it right to the end. And so he had. Yes, it's a beautiful little story. You know, in Africa, we're occasionally perplexed about what to do. I was riding along in my car, and I'd forgotten to take my raincoat with me. As my wife had said, nothing unusual about that, because I forget more things than I should. Well, it was raining. I'll tell you how it rains in Africa. And I was driving up a hill, and there were four bedraggled women. The first thought in my mind was, pass them by. After all, I didn't have a raincoat. I'd gotten in just before the rain started. And I was going to drive into the garage. Well, what would you do? Well, what did you think I did? What the Lord would have done? Yes. I stopped the car, and it had what they call a canopy on the back, and you have to get out to open it up. It would have been better if I could have opened it from the inside, but I couldn't. So I had to get out. And by the time I'd gotten those four dear ladies in, I was soaked to the skin. And I took them to their village. And they were very grateful. They clapped and saw. Well, I think the Apostle Paul would have said, that's adequate. You could have passed them by. After all, they're only Africans. But I didn't feel I could do that. Well, you say I'm clapping myself on the back. No, not at all. I knew perfectly well what was expected of me, and I didn't. Now, there's just one little thought that I'd like to bring to your attention before we bring this little message to an end. Go back again to Philemon, this favored man, and his need to forgive Onesimus, whether he liked it or not. You know, the scriptures tell us a lot about adding on. Notice this little portion from 2 Peter. Besides all of these, this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. If you have faith, that's fine, but add to it. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And to you, Philemon, to love and forgiveness. Yes, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. So, we have our Lord's words. How many times shall we forgive? 7 times 70 with a plus sign on the side. Let me conclude with just one little story, another one from Africa. You know what these Africans are like. They can never think of anything else. Well, my wife and I went out to look after another mission station about 100 miles away to take the meetings and to check up while a fellow missionary was away. We were asked to take a woman and her baby to the hospital, which we agreed to do. Nothing very difficult about that. You would just drop her off. Yeah. Well, we'd gone along about 60 miles or so, 50 miles or so, and there's a great deal of wailing coming from the back of the car. Yes, the baby had died. I died in the car. So I thought, well, that's not too bad. We'll just drop the poor woman and the baby at the hospital. I said, you could have done that here. Well, we got to the hospital, and all the nurses looked at one another and didn't know what to do. I said, well, I'm sorry, we can't take her. We can't do anything for the baby, which I, of course, knew perfectly well. And you go back. You take the mother back and the baby. So I said, where am I going to get the fuel? Well, they had not even thought about that one. So then we went around to see the doctor, and it was his day off, and he wasn't going to worry about it. Didn't offer to take the woman back. So what was a very simple task became very difficult. So what are you going to do with the poor mother? Leave her? No. Well, we had to put her into the car and take her back to the school. A long way out of our way, that is, out of her way. Then we had to see that she was housed and fed. And one of the most difficult tasks, to get her to give up that baby. Let us bury it. Because African custom is very strong. Well, then I had to run around country looking for a way to get her back. And eventually it all worked out. And in the morning, I took her over to this farm, and she got a ride back home. 5 minutes. Hours. Hours of time. You say, over nothing. Well, it's our responsibility. We love that dear person. She wasn't a Christian. We pray that she would become one. It was our responsibility. And we're very thankful that we were able to do it. So the Lord has given us things to do. Not easy. He's given us this wonderful word, forgive. I have forgiven you. May the Lord help us to think upon these words and to put our place, ourselves into the place of Philemon, who forgave Onesimus. The scriptures tell us that. He became an evangelist. He was one of Paul's helpers. And as far as we know, he was of great value to the church at that time. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to apply in a practical way these thoughts to our own lives. We thank you that you have forgiven us. And we ask you, O Lord, that we may not be guilty of unforgiveness. Help us to forgive any who have in any way done anything to us. We pray for your blessing upon the lands in which we have lived. Pray for Africa. We pray for this great land in which we live, and we thank you for it. I grant, we pray, that so we shall be found faithful servants of you, our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we ask it in your name. Amen.